be all the glory. Amen.
Give thanks to God for this day. We are very grateful to God, indeed. Grateful. Just to share very briefly, I don't know how brief it's going to be, because brief can be very relative. We're looking at the subjects on lifetime commitment and loyalty to God. Lifetime commitment and loyalty to God. Let us pray. God in heaven, we are very grateful that we can refer to you as our Father, which art in heaven. We have earthly fathers, biological fathers, spiritual fathers, but you are the heavenly Father, the Father of all fathers. Lord, we pray that we will find refuge under you in Jesus' name. We will find comfort under you in Jesus' name. We will have joy and peace that money cannot buy in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that our coming to your house will bring comfort, relief, and hope for every one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, speak to us through your word. Give us a receptive spirit, a receptive mind. Circumcise our ears to hear your word. Thank you. And give us the grace to do what we hear. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. A better amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 24. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 24, reading verses 12 and 13. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is the response of Jesus Christ when his disciples were asking him about end time events. What will happen when this world is coming to an end? When we say this world is coming to an end, I mean this particular dispensation. Remember, we have Adam's dispensation, Noah's dispensation, Abraham's dispensation, the Israelites in the wilderness dispensation, and also the captivity of the Jews in dispensation, and then their liberation, and the period of Jesus Christ here on earth, that was a dispensation. Right now, we are in the dispensation of the Gentiles, where God's searchlight radar is on the Gentiles. The Gentiles, we who are outside the commonwealth of Israel, we are presently right now, God is throwing the life jacket and the life wire to us to make sure we come in. Very soon, the dispensation of the Gentiles will close. And that is when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise up, and then the Gentile dispensation will be closed. And when that is closed, the dispensation of the Jews will be opened again. Presently, the Jews are hardened up against the gospel. Not many Jews have embraced the New Testament gospel. Not many Jews. Many of us may not realize that there are Israelites in Jamaica, in US, all over the world. They still make mockery of we Christians. And in fact, I personally have heard, not that I only read, I have heard where a Jew laughed at Christians that you are all following carpenter's son that we never recognized. I remember some years ago we went to the synagogue of the Jews in downtown. Some of you might know the place, when I was still studying. And we were made to worship with them because they were trying to show us some real things about Torah, Nibim, Ketubim, and all the stuff they use in there. And we were asked to worship with them. And at the end of the day, as students at that time, we were asked if you have any question. Some of you might know I love to ask questions. And I was one of the few persons that lifted up my hand and said, I have question. And I said, I observed that throughout the service that we had, nothing was said about Jesus Christ and nothing was read from the New Testament. And the rabbi who was there, I've forgotten his name, maybe De Souza or something like that, but he's actually a real Jew. And there were some other Jamaicans who had been converted to Jews there. And it was the rabbi who said, you know, all religions have one Bible. All religions have one holy book. It's you Christians that you have two Bibles. Only you Christians. That the Muslims have one holy book. The Hindus, the Buddhists, the Confucians, all of them have one. We Jews, we have just one. But you Christians who say you are Christian, you have two books that is confusing you. You take our book and then you write the book of the carpenter's son. So I kept quiet. Everybody was there. You know, there are some people who go to theological college. They are just there to listen to whatever they tell them. But I wasn't satisfied. So other person asked few questions. My hand went up again. And then I asked another question. Is it true that the Israelites and the Jews, just that we heard that he came unto his own and his own received it not? Is it true that you have not received him? The man laughed again. And as he was about to explain, and he tried to explain again that, you know, this man is just, the man just came out of the blues. We don't know how he came. We don't have, he's not the expected Messiah. The Messiah is coming. That the Messiah will come. Brethren, I'm not telling you what I read. I am telling you what I was personally involved at the synagogue of the Jews downtown. They have a very beautiful synagogue painted white. Some of you, if you don't know it, find it out. And it was after asking that the man struggled to explain. Then the thing went around again. My hand went up the third time. Dr. Booth, Reverend Dr. Booth, who was our lecturer and also the one that escorted us to the place. She's late now. She died just about 2-3 months ago. A very nice lady. He said, Mr. Odi, no more for you. I'm telling you. He said, Mr. Odi, you have asked all the questions you need to ask. No more. I said, okay, ma'am, thank you. And I kept quiet. But I was satisfied to show that when John 1:11 say he came unto his own and his own received him not. Brethren, believe me, it's not just on paper. It's very true. It's very true. I was physically there. So it's different that when you read something, you watch on DVD, but something that you hear, even the Jews themselves make mockery of this gospel. That's why Paul said that God sending him to the Gentiles is a mystery to the Jews. That's why they wanted to kill Paul. That you are crazy. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, you see that we are the people, they say we are aliens. We are foreigners. We are people without hope. We are people without God. But thank God that through Jesus Christ today, we all have hope. And we have hope beyond the grave. Let me hear somebody praise God. Brethren, you know, It's very good. You experience some things in your life. I remember also some, not too long, maybe just about 6 years ago, I was in Connecticut and I noticed the Jews who will not enter their car. Believe me, they will not cook their food on Saturday. They will not even turn off the light. It's as serious as that. They will not turn off. Once they turn on the light on Friday until Saturday night, the food, they will not warm it. They will not trouble the stove. They will not trouble the car, you know, because you might be breaking the law of the Sabbath. And I say, what a punishment is this in this world? When Jesus Christ came to fulfill all the laws, somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Brethren, ignorance is a terrible thing, you know. Ignorance is a terrible, terrible thing. To be very much, I am so excited when I notice the various contributions this morning at the said the scripture. In fact, my heart glad in that some of you really read the book and you understood, you know, what may look like metaphorical languages that we can translate into our time in terms of orderliness, decency, excellence in the house of God. That's it, you know. At the end of the day, what do we learn from those orderliness, decency? And our God is a God of order. You know, sometimes you go to some churches, somebody say he's in the spirit and will be slapping people here and there, turn the chairs upside down, scatter everywhere. They say, no, the spirit of the Lord is moving. God is not an author of confusion. You go to some place, they say they are under the spirit, and you can, somebody's running around the whole place, running everybody down, running them down. If he's just running around on his own, no problem, but he's running people down. I'm talking about those slapping members in the church. And people have to be running up and down for their life. And they say it's the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit so confusing? So the Holy Spirit brought confusion to the church. Nothing goes so. But people are so ignorant of the Bible. This morning, Jesus Christ is telling us that there are some things we need to watch over. And that is our life. Our commitment to God should not be a temporary commitment. Let me use another word. Must not be a spasmodic commitment. Spasmodic, spasm, you know, bam, bam, bam. The person gets cold again. He's gone. But God wants us to be consistent in our following him. Let me hear somebody praise God for that. If you decide to be a Christian, then be a Christian. If you don't want to be a Christian, then serve the devil. But like Moses said, I appeal unto you for your soul's sake, for your future's sake, for your welfare, choose to serve God. But like Moses will say, I place before you life, death, blessing, cursing, choose one. You have to choose. You have to choose. You have to make a choice as to what will be your eternal destiny. If you want to live in the blessings of God, the choice is yours. If you want to be under the curse of the devil, the choice is yours. Every one of us here must make a choice of our eternal destiny. The pastor can make a choice for you. Your wife can make a choice for you. Your husband can make a choice for you. Your children can choose for you. My children can choose for me. Every one of us will account for how we have spent the life God has given us. I went somewhere to share with them. I don't know whether I mentioned it when I came here from that funeral service. And the lady, as if you have never heard that word, when I use the word that we are all under probation. We are all under what? That the life God has given us is on probation. The life you have, the life I have, we are to give account. We are on probation. That's why it is said, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, what? Judgment. You will give account of the way you live your life. I'm going to give account of the way I live my life. What makes my own very dangerous is that I am not only going to give account of my own life, but those that God has brought under my leadership, I'm also going to give account. That is where leadership in the ministry is a very dangerous thing. You will give account of the people. Were you truthful to them? Were you honest to them? Did you tell them what will help them? or were you afraid of your congregation? All of that, you will give account. And that's why it's always good, pray for those who are in leadership, because it is not an easy work for them. Sometimes you have to take a very hard decision in order just to protect the glory of God. Let me hear somebody praise God. I say, let me hear somebody praise God. The disciples of Jesus was asking him, who are those that will finally make it on the last day? And Jesus said in that verse 13, he started with verse 12. And because iniquity shall what? Abound. The love of many shall do what? Wax cold. How many of you know it is more challenging when you are in an environment when everybody is living a life of immorality? Everybody seems to be living a life of corruption. Everybody seems to be living a life contrary to godliness and righteousness. Is more challenging for you to be in the midst of such people. Because one, they will ridicule you. They will say you are fanatical. They say you are too extreme. You are this. Are you the only one? They will say you are holier than thou. But the Bible says, when we look at our world right now, brethren, our world is embracing more of iniquity. We were in a meeting on Friday, yes? When a meeting on Friday with another bishop, you know, I mentioned to you before, a church that opened up to us in downtown that we should come and train their workers and their ministers. And so far, they told us they have registered 50 ministers from that church. Brethren, we give thanks to God. We have never experienced that before. So you say, remember, I told this year is think big, plan big. You say amen to that. Amen. The bishop said something that was a bit frightening to me. And I hope we don't get there yet in our church. That people who practice homosexuals, she's a lady, came to her that they want her to baptize them, that they are now saved. And so she asked them, have you left that lifestyle? They said, bishop, leave that alone. We are now born again. Baptize us. And recently, because it's in downtown, there are some persons who are practicing homosexual who also came, you know, asking her that they want to be married. So she said, pastor, I am thinking of surrendering my marriage license instead of facing questions I can never answer. Because marriage is a social function. As a minister, you are expected to service your community, especially if you are a JP. Do you follow what I'm saying? They don't have to be members in your church before you wear them. That is the service of MO, that's marriage officer or JP. So the lady said, I think of going to surrender my marriage certificate so that they don't approve. I'll just tell them I'm no more a marriage officer. So go and look for him. So was asking me, say, but you guys, you have school of evangelism. How are you dealing with this thing? What is the answer you have for us? I have no answer. I'm going to be honest. And I say, bishop, I don't have an answer. I will be deceiving myself. I say I have an answer. But that's to show you the kind of audacity. You know, people have come to a stage, they are no more ashamed to publicly declare their identity with the devil. Brethren, people are no more ashamed. You know, some years ago, it's a shame to see a woman half naked on the road, exposing some part of your body. It's a shame. Now, you know, if you don't wear what they wear, it's like you are coming from what we call the antediluvian years. You are coming from years. You are coming from, you know, mommy days. Anybody hear what I'm saying? So, people, we are in a world now, believe you me, it's going to get harder to be a Christian very soon. Because some churches are willing to step down the standard so they can keep their members. Watch it. Watch it. There are some pastors, ministers, and churches, they are willing to lower the standard and say, oh, Young people, is that what you want? Come in, just come in, yeah, man. I mean, we wed you. And very soon, I have even heard from some person that there are some plans, some foreigners are having mind to come and marry Jamaican. Now, foreigner men, come and marry Jamaican men and take them to the pastor. And once you say no, they say you practice hate in your religion. And they are looking for how Jamaican government will make it such legal issues that can take you to court for not wedding them or refusing to get married. But since the man agreed to marry them and you say they shouldn't marry, what's your basis? Your duty is just to join us together and bless us. Brethren, the church is going to face a very hard time. What we are seeing today, some of you have been with us, maybe Mother Davis will remember, maybe Brad Loban, I don't know when you join us. When we're upstairs there, we prayed and fasted. And I said, this country is coming to face a hard time. Mother Davis, can you remember? We have fasting and prayer. Some 4 years ago, 5 years ago, sometimes the Lord moved. And I said, brethren, be prepared. This country is going to come under serious pressure. We are right in it now. All this time, they say they are delaying IMF. They are not signing it. They are not signing that. They want Jamaica to change the Bogri law. They want Jamaica to change the Bogri law. Huh? Look at the pressure here and there, left and right, on the prime minister, on the whatever they are doing. They deny Jamaica this, deny Jamaica that, refuse Jamaica this, refuse Jamaica that. So you think it's coincidence? It's never coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's a deliberate act of the powerful people who are practicing iniquity. And they are using their money. If you don't give me what I want, you don't get the money. You don't get the job. You don't get the visa. You don't get the passage. And that's why, brethren, as people of God, we need to know how to be on our knees. It's getting more challenging. And don't let us wait until the neck is off. We are not looking for medicine to put on it. It will be too late. But the church, believe you me, the thing that this world has never experienced in the past, you see, not only that those who practice immorality, they are growing in their number. They are expanding, extending their network. How about Islamic killing people? So it is coming from different ways. This one has sword and gun and ammunition. They are, any country they go now, you don't buy, they just kill off everybody. And while that is going on, those who are using their own moral misbehavior, they are also doing their own. And here we are, Jesus says, don't carry sword. Here we are, Jesus says what? Don't carry sword. Don't carry gun. We eventually become the lamb that is taken to the slaughter as if he has no owner. So you now see when Isaiah 53 gets completed in many of us here, because if we are followers of the Messiah, what happened to the Messiah will ultimately happen to many of us. And that's when Jesus says, if you actually follow me, you will need to carry your cross and come to Calvary. May God give all of us the grace. When that time comes, may God give us the grace. Remember this voice. Remember what I'm saying. If we eventually come to that stage, remember to give your life than to lose your relationship with God. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. I said, when that time comes, if it comes, when that time comes, if it comes, brethren, don't be afraid of death. Prefer to die than to sell your rights like Esau. Remember what is in the book of Revelation. He said, I've heard that many of you are killed. But hold on. Very soon it will be over. Jesus answering his disciples who ask him question. Look at that verse 13. From verse 12 again. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall do what? Wax cold. If brother so and so can't make it, how can I make it? If sister so and so can't stand it, how can I stand it? Brethren, remember, every one of us will give account individually. Don't use me as a standard. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Human beings will fail and fail woefully. This outline I have in my hand, I can't even touch too much of it because it's inside there. When God depended on Gideon, and Gideon did so well until halfway, and Gideon set up idol for the children of Israel for them to worship. Yes, Jeroboam did well halfway, a servant promoted to take the place of leadership. Halfway, he took the children of Israel into idolatry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jehoshaphat did well halfway. He got somewhere compromised because he wanted recognition. Brethren, there are people in the Bible, they started very well, but when pressure came upon them, they compromised their commitment to God. I pray God will give us the grace that even when pressure come upon us, we'll be able to say, listen to me, here I stand. I am not changing my stand with the Lord. I have laid my hands on the plow. I am not going back. I am not going back. I have made a commitment to God through Jesus Christ. It may cost me life. It may cost me isolation. It may cost me hunger, nakedness. But I have laid my hands on the plow. May God give us grace to go that far. Because look at verse 13. But he that shall endure what I'm telling you unto the end, the same shall be what? Saved. There are many persons that were saved. But when the pressure came, they surrendered their salvation. Yeah? Now we can say, right now, I am saved. You are saved. That salvation can be said to be a salvation of probation. Do you follow what I'm saying? The salvation can only be sealed if you continue till the end. How many of you have watched those who run the race? Whether it is the 100 meter or 400 meter. How many of you watch it on television? Put up your hand. Have you seen some people that start first? Bam, 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 bam. They are in the front. And then when they are halfway, and maybe just about 100 meters to the place, it is then you know those who have energy. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Suddenly you see somebody that just pull off from the people. You see him coming very fast. Beat off number one, number two, number three. Before you know it, he's right in front. And the man you saw in front before, he has lost energy. And you just see the person back there. I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. There are some people that start well, the Christian faith. They start well. But when they begin to look this way, look that way, the pool of sin, the pool of iniquity, the attractions of the world, reduced their energy. They became infected. You know, those of you who are in the medical field, you know, you see the person now has lost energy. And if the person does not know how to refire himself, re-energize himself, he will just stay there and die there. I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. God will give us the grace to run till the end. Brethren, it's easy to start the journey. But only those that endure the pain, the persecution, and the innuendos of human being, only those who are able to resist the devil, those who are able to say, listen to me, I have made up my mind with God. I am not changing my desire for God. I'm going to fight till the end. Brethren, if you will ever succeed in life, you need to fight till the end. In your marriage, you need to fight till the end. I tell you, the devil will raise many dusts to tear down your marriage, but you need to say, not me. Anything this marriage will take, I'm going to give and continue till the end. In your place of work, the devil wants to look for how to tear down your finances, tear down your customers, tear down and separate you and impoverish you, but you have to fight by being diligent in your work. Do we say amen to that? If you are a student, don't just think that, you know, success will come overnight. You have to read hard, research, burn some lit candles at night while others are sleeping. You wake up. A time is coming when you begin to relax and say, God, thank you. But listen to me. Anyone that will ever succeed, either in the secular or in the spiritual, you must put up a fight. And Jesus says, only those that are able to endure the fight. Paul said, listen, I fight with the beast of the Ephesus. He said, I fight, and I don't fight anyhow. I fight deliberately. It's in the book of Timothy. You understand me? And as a Christian, you must learn how to fight spiritual warfare. The enemy is not happy for any man to be progressive. The enemy, the devil knew, and he knows, not just that he only knew, he knows he has lost the battle. He will never have access to heaven, and all he's trying to do is to recruit more candidates to go to hell with him. But neither you nor myself will be his candidate in Jesus' name. That's why we have to preach hard to each other. We have to tell the truth to each other. We have to be honest to each other. You know, don't look for simple, silly gospels. Nowadays, some people are just satisfied, you know, the gospel of prosperity. Yeah, man, I believe in prosperity. But that prosperity must be with purity. The gospel of, you know, the gospel of this, the gospel of miracle, the gospel of that. They are good, but how much do they help us to run the race till the end? Brethren, the key word here is only those that endure till the end shall be what? Saved. Let me give you the scenario we have here. It is the case of Gideon. How many of you have heard about Gideon? Gideon was the man God called him. Called him from a poor family. And if look at it, open your Bible with me in Judges chapter 6. Let me just, if I can see, let me see what I can do. Judges chapter 6. In Judges chapter 6 from verse 12, this is the call of Gideon. From verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrites, and his son Gideon threshed with by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my God, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this trouble befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Me? Behold, my feet poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Let me hear somebody praise him. Here is Gideon. Gideon met this angel. Brothers and sisters, may I please bring this to your attention, that God knows how weak or how strong you are. And God is willing to use those who do not see themselves to be mighty people. God is looking for men and women who are willing to trust him, obey him, believe him, and then he will now possess you by his own might to do what you will never be able to do. Oh yes, I'm telling you honestly, I have known people in the Bible, I've known people in our contemporary time, I myself don't even know I could be where I am today. But I take a step at a time. I pray a day at a time. I read the Bible a day at a time. I take some risk in my life. Some of the risk is enough to bring criticisms into my life. Some of the risk does not make me popular. But because I know it is the will of God, I do them. Ultimately, I see God on my side. Let me see somebody praise him. Similarly, with the case of Gideon. Here, Gideon heard the voice of the Lord, and the Lord told him, break down the idols in your father's house. Mash it up. All the idols in your father's house, mash them up, all of them. And Gideon said, what will the community say? They are going to kill me and my father. They will just come here and burn my father's house. But do you know, that night, Gideon went to where the major idol in the community is and break down everything. Everything. In the morning, the people came over there to come and worship the idol. Idol house was gone. Even their God was dead. And they say, who did this? Because in the morning, the people in the community will come together to worship the idol, eat before the idol, put fire before the idol. A molded mud. And it was when they made inquiry, they said, it must be Gideon. Because that young man was becoming overzealous recently. It must be Gideon. Let's go to his father's house and burn it down. Burn his father's house. And when they came there, may God give us godly fathers in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes our fathers may not even fully understand. When they came there, they called Gideon's father and said, give us your son today. Your son must die. He has destroyed our God and break down his house. And Gideon's father said, if your God is God indeed, why are you protecting him? Let your God kill Gideon. Why are you protecting your God? Are you the one to protect your God, or your God is to protect you? Which one is for you? Can you protect God? I don't know about you. My God is the one to protect me. I can't protect my God. It's no more God if I'm the one to protect him. In a nutshell, that was how the people went away. Because Gideon's father said, listen, if you want me to give you Gideon, I can give you, but answer me. Are you the one protecting your God, or your God protecting you? If he's truly a God, why are you fighting for him? Let him fight for himself. So leave the matter. Let your God kill him. It's about when God saw that Gideon obeyed that initial instruction, it was at that time God now said, Gideon, not only that you have destroyed the idol of your father's community, you are going to destroy the idol in the whole of Israel, and I'm going to give you victory. And so Gideon went and gathered 32,000 people to wage war against the Midianites. And God said, no, Gideon, there are too many. You know, if I allow you to go with 32,000, you'll come back boasting yourself. It's my might and my power. Anybody hear what I'm saying? You see, there are too many. Tell them, if anybody is fearful that he may die in this battle, let him go home. Brethren, we are told that about 22,000 went back, and the about 10,000, or how many remain? He said, Gideon, this is still too much. I don't want to come back boasting. Now, let me test them for you. Let them come to the water side. Let me see the one that will drink water. And as they were drinking the water, God knew those of them that lapped like a dog, and those of them that were used their hand to take the water. He said, separate them. And out of about 10,000, only 300 out of 32,000 people pass the test of God. Brothers and sisters, may God help you to pass the test of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't have a good amen. Amen. God will test you before he uses you. God is going to try you. He's going to try your intents, your desire, your ambition. He's going to test you if God will use you. God, let me tell you, God sees everything within us, you know. There are some person, they are people of academic success in life, but God don't still use them. Why? Because God sees pride in them. God sees some qualities in them that he does not want to touch. But Gideon said, I'm from a poor family. Again, as I said, if I go into details about this outline, if the Lord permit me, I may come back to it later on. For years, Gideon was humble. And as long as he was humble, God gave him victory over the Midianites. As long as he was humble, the children of Israelites loved him, appreciated, exalted him. As long as he was humble, God was by his side. But unbelievable thing happened, brothers and sisters. One day, he told the children of Israel that he wants to mold something. Everybody bring your earring and bring your bangles. Bring your gold if you truly love me. You know what? You know, a lesson to me, hopefully you get a lesson from there, is that be very careful. When people begin to exalt you, begin to praise you, begin to lift you high, don't let it intoxicate you. You are going to do something stupid very soon. Something silly very soon. Especially when we have made some success in life and we have become elevated, either in the school, at work, academically, in the church, be careful of getting intoxicated with that elevation. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Gideon told the people, bring your gold. Women, men, go to the house. If truly you want to honor me, bring the gold. And they brought the gold, the silver, and everything, and they melted them. And when they melted them, brothers and sisters, here come out a big idol, molded in the center of the city. Remember, that when Gideon was first appointed, it was an idol he has to break down. Father, I pray you, God, help me. That all of us here, we will not go back and rebuild the idol we have broken. I say, may God help us. That we will not go back and rebuild the idols we have broken. Amen. Who will ever believe that Gideon, having experienced such a victory, Gideon having experienced such breakthrough, Gideon having been so favored by God, he is coming from a poor family, and God make him to become the governor in Israel. And the unfortunate way he repaid God back was to raise up another idol. You know, there are some persons, when they are poor, when they are in need, when they have never been to some level of academics in their life, they are humble. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, they will pray, they will fast, they will read the Bible, they will do everything the church asks them to do. Once they get to a particular level, I am now in charge. And what do? They raise up an idol. May God keep us away from such behavior in Jesus' name. The Bible says God was angry with Gideon because Gideon ultimately carried the whole Israel back into idolatry. And God was really angry. And God said, what is this? A man that started in a very humble way. What is this? Brethren, I will, you know, as I said, the outline is here. Full. If I'm to go here, you won't leave here in the next one. It's sent for us from headquarters. But I want to stop here. If the Lord permits me, I will come back. You know what I want you to pray about? Lord, keep me humble. I don't know about you. I'm coming from a poor background. But God, it has pleased him to bring me to where I am today. I want to be humble the rest of my life in the name of Jesus. My wife is always singing one song. She say, Lord, open the curtain of memories that I may remember where I am coming from. You know, many persons, you know how they mash up their future? They don't know where they are starting from. They didn't know where they are coming from. Whoever told me one day I will drive a car, I will be in an airplane, I will come to a place called Jamaica, across the Atlantic. Whoever told me? Whoever told me that one day you'll do this and do that? Whoever told me? You know? It's because I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And I just follow him one day at a time. And I want us to pray, Lord, help me to avoid going back to my vomit, which I have vomited years ago. When you became a Christian, there are some things you abandoned. The moment you made up your life, you say, Jesus, I give my life to you. There were some lifestyles you abandoned. There were some words, some languages you abandoned. There are some friends you isolated yourself from because you know they will make you to fall. But right now, you're going back to those friends. Some women, some men, you know, they were not helped spiritually, morally. You're going back there. Some business partners that you do business with, it gives you plenty money, but you don't have good conscience. You're going back to them. Why don't you say, Lord, help me so that I'll be able to run my race till the end. The idols I have broken, I'm not going to raise them. Is anybody going to pray such prayer this afternoon? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Shall we all stand up together? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. With thanksgiving, I be a living sanctuary for you. Sing now. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, Lord, I be a living sanctuary for you. One more time, please.
Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary,
pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Let me hear you talk to the Lord. Lord, help me not to go back to my vomit. The things I have renounced. When I gave my life to Jesus, I want to keep them renounced. The things I have cut off from, the sinful practices of the world, the fashions of the world, the smoking, the drinking of the world that are not healthy for my soul. Lord, I want to keep them away still. Because only those that endure till the end shall be saved. Please open your mouth and pray and talk to the Lord. God called Gideon. God anointed Gideon. Gideon had victory for Israel. But when Gideon became elevated as a governor of Israel, this same Gideon who told the Lord in the past, who am I? What is my family? Why do you give me this honor? This same Gideon carried Israel into idolatry. This same Gideon, who was very humble, very meek, this was the same Gideon who told the Lord, "Who am I? Who am I you should ever use me?" This same Gideon, he carried Israel into idolatry. Pray, brothers and sisters, that God will give you the grace to endure till the end. That you will not stop by the wayside and change your commitment. That God will give you the grace to continue to the end. You will continue. I will continue to the end. Don't allow anything to intoxicate you. Promotion at work, success in academics, financial breakthrough. Don't allow any of them to intoxicate your mind and lose your relationship with God. Remember where you are coming from. Remember where you were nothing before God made you something. Don't raise an idol. The idol will kill you. The idol will kill you. Don't raise up any idol. Be honest to yourself. Be meek still. Be humble still. Don't allow any of those things to rob you of God's relationship with you. Be careful of becoming boastful, arrogant, uncooperative because of that little elevation. There's a greater elevation coming when Jesus will appear in the sky and will take the saints home. That is the elevation, the greatest elevation. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, my God. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Oh yes, the opportunities and the privileges of God give me. Sometimes I am amazed. Why me who came to this island yesterday? Why me this opportunity? And I pray God every day to remind me where I am coming from. To open the curtains of memories. Show me when I had no father or mother around to push me. But you yourself, God, push me. Push me to get to where I am today. I want to be grateful to you all the days of my life. I want to stay committed all the days of my life. I want to be consecrated all the days of my life. It doesn't matter what people around me are doing. I refuse to sell off. I refuse to compromise my conviction in you, oh God. Thank you. Thank you. Sister Campbell, come here. Sing this song, "For you alone are holy." You are holy, God.
Only you are holy.
If you know that song, just join. After that song, I will pray.
Only you are worthy.
Please join that song.
Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Who is faithful, ever true. All my love, my life, my all is a testimony. Is a testimony. Is a testimony. Only you, Lord. Only you are.
Only you are worthy.
Only you are worthy, Lord.
Only you are wonderful. For there's no one like you.
Who is so faithful? Who is so faithful? Ever true, all my love, my life. All my love, my life. My heart is a testimony. Is a testimony. Is a testimony.
Let me hear somebody praise God. If you don't mind, just put your right hand on your chest and say these words after me, if you don't mind. Oh God in heaven, I have laid my hands on the plow. Your vow is upon my life to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Oh God in heaven, the pressure is getting higher. The love of many is waxing cold. This day, this day, I renew my vow. I renew my loyalty to the God of heaven. In the name of Jesus, to serve him, worship him all the days of my life. Give me the grace to do so. Help me to remember the mistake of Gideon. Never to go back into my vomit. But help me to be consistent, to be enduring, to be steadfast, even till the end. This is my prayer. This is my vow. Seal it for me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let me pray with you, then we'll close. Almighty God, we are very grateful that in this church, you have not kept the truth from us. Lord, we do hope everyone here embraces the truth. If there be anybody here that feel hurt, uncomfortable with this kind of truth, Lord, speak to their spirits. Speak to their conscience. Because we are on the last day. The dispensation of the Gentile is about us. Lord, those who are playing with Christianity, oh, they are joking with their eternity. Therefore, God, we pray, and I pray for your people under this umbrella. I pray that the spirit of steadfastness will be given to all of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our brethren in Maypen, grant them the spirit of steadfastness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our brethren in Mountain View, grant them the spirit of steadfastness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All the students coming from over 50 different churches, you have brought under our supervision, Jehovah God, we pray all of them will be steadfast in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We pray for this other church in downtown. having so appreciated what we are doing, gathered their ministers all over the island, over 50 of them, that we may teach them. Father, we pray, right from their bishop to their ministers and the ones in training, give them the grace to run till the end in Jesus' name. Amen. Even our children, all these children coming to the platform to sing, to say memory verse, Father, the devil will never be able to touch any of our children in Jesus' name. Amen. In the school, make them to be evangelists in Jesus' name. Amen. Anywhere they go, make them to excel in Jesus' name. Amen. No weapon of the enemy of any kind, divination of any kind, will succeed upon our youths in Jesus' name. Amen. All our youths, Father in heaven, free them from drug, free them from smoking, free them from alcohol, free them from the contamination of the youths in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep our homes in order. We pray for all those who are married in our midst. Father, harmony is the word. Unity is the word. All marriages in this assembly will be so consolidated and solidified by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift up your hand and bless him. Just bless the name of the Lord. Just bless him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Love him, love him, love him, love him. Tell him, Lord, I love you. Tell him, Lord, I love you. I love and I want to love you more and more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and your family, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Good afternoon to you all. God bless you all. Bless you all. Please let us remember to be praying for one another. I just remember that we are expecting the husband of Sister Shola. So maybe that's where he's gone. So let's be praying for safe arrival in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. Please fall into groups, brethren, and just interact.